Hello, this is Pastor Ryan Clark. You are listening to a message from St. John's Lutheran Church in Buffalo, Minnesota.
Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. I'd like to introduce someone to you. Up there on the screen with me is my little brother. I don't think Blake has been here. He lives all the way down in Des Moines, Iowa. But I love my brother. My brother is significantly younger than me. I believe he's 17 years younger than me. My parents actually adopted Blake from Romania when I was in college. And so we've never really lived in the same place, but we talk almost every week. And as I said, I really love my brother. Now, my brother was adopted at 4 years old. I've got two other adopted siblings. Both of them were adopted as little babies, but Blake was adopted in his fourth year of life from Romania. Now, I don't know if you've ever seen a news report on the orphanages in Romania, but especially back in the 80s and 90s, they were horrendous. They were terrible places to be. In fact, maybe some of the worst places to live in the whole world. That's where my brother came from. Here's some pictures up here. I don't know if you can see them that well, but I remember a few months after we adopted Blake and realized that there were some things that we really had to help him work through. Then we saw the reports and saw why. Some of the reports had two or three babies in a crib together. Nobody had their own crib. Nobody had anything that they could call their very own. There was significant abuse that was going on in all of these orphanages. I remember after my brother was able to speak a little bit in English, he would tell us about getting hit with a shoe over the head whenever he would accidentally pee his pants or do something that he shouldn't do. It was a really terrible way to live. And the first 4 years of my brother's life were in one of these orphanages. That was his old life. But when we adopted him here into the United States and to it, my family, which had so much love to give, he went overnight from an old life to a brand new life. This picture right there in the middle of that cute little kid, that is my brother on the day that we picked him up. And all those pictures around are pictures that took place in the first year of him being with us in the United States. We took him to church. We got him baptized. We started to just fill him with all the love that we had to give, from an old life to a brand new life. If we look in our first reading for today from the book of Acts, Acts chapter 5, what was going on is that the people were starting to adjust to a brand new life in Christ. The church was just getting started in those first few chapters of Acts, and they were starting to adjust to what this new life was going to look like. It was exciting in a lot of different ways. In Acts 2, it says, "And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved." The early church was growing literally by the day. It was really exciting. All of the people that were coming into this new life that had been won for them through Jesus Christ died on that cross and resurrected from the dead. He brought this brand new life that people were coming to by the droves. Now, not everyone liked it. Then the high priest and all of his associates were filled with jealousy over what was going on. They arrested the apostles and put them in the public jail. They didn't like what was going on. And so these apostles, just a few chapters before this, were known as Jesus' disciples, were thrown into jail. But But then we're told an angel of the Lord opened the doors of the jail and brought them out. "Go stand in the temple courts," he said, "and tell the people all about this new life." So God was working miraculously in the early church. And when the angel let them out of that jail that the religious leaders had put them in, he gave them this command: go tell everybody about this brand new life so that even more people can come on board with what Jesus has won for them. I was thinking, what is this new life that Jesus won for us through his death and resurrection look like? Why did people by the droves in the early church want to be a part of it? Well, because this new life is really, really good. We didn't have to pay for it. Jesus paid for it, and we just get to enjoy it. So what are some of those things about this new life? Well, first of all, in this new life, we have a new family with a wonderful Heavenly Father who has promised never to leave you and never to forsake you. I couldn't help thinking about my brother again. When he came over from Romania, he got the same thing. A new family, a loving family, and super loving parents that were going to love him unconditionally. I remember for almost a year or more, my brother struggled with understanding that his parents loved him unconditionally. When my mother would take him to the babysitter, because both of my folks were teachers in the high school that I went to, she would take him to the babysitter every day right before school. And for over a year, whenever she would leave, he would think she wasn't coming back for him. That's what 4 years in an orphanage did for him. And he would always cry his eyes out, thinking that he would never see her again. And it was only as time went along, years went along, did he realize, you know what? She's always going to come back for me. You and I have a Heavenly Father like that. He says in Hebrews 13, keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have, because God has said, never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. He's saying, you know, don't try to get as much stuff and as much money as possible, thinking that your security is there. Find your security in God, because he's never, ever going to leave you. That's what Jesus won for you through the cross. A Heavenly Father that will never leave you. He will never let you struggle on your own without coming to help you when you call upon him. In Acts 2, it says, all the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. What do we have in this new life? We have a loving Heavenly Father that'll never leave us, and a brand new family. God calls the family the church. A brand new family. And in the early church, what did they do? They took care of one another. Nobody had a need, because if they had a need, the church came to their rescue. And that was God's intention for the church until he returned at the end of time. And I'm so blessed to be a part of a congregation that does the same thing. This is a family. I can't think of a better word for St. John's Lutheran Church, a family of believers that come to the rescue of one another. Also in Acts 2, it says, every day they continued to meet together. They couldn't get enough of each other in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts. They had small groups, or dare I say, life groups, meeting in each other's homes. And they worshiped together and enjoyed time together and ate the Lord's Supper together. That's what a family is all about. Peter said, "We've left everything to follow you. What then will there be for us?" Jesus said to them, "Everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or fields for my sake will receive 100 times as much and will inherit eternal life." Peter says, "We've left everything to follow you. What do we get?" And Jesus said, "If you leave everything to follow me, I'm going to promise you something. I'm going to give you 100 times as much." And what is he talking about? He's talking about the church. He said, "I'm going to give you brothers and sisters that you didn't know you had. Brothers and sisters in Christ. People that are going to love on you, and you're going to have the opportunity to love on them." I can't tell you how many times I've heard in my years of being a pastor, people say something like this to me. "You know, I love my family, but my church family, I'm even closer to." And in a lot of ways, that's the way God intended it. This new life is really good, isn't it? A loving Heavenly Father and a brand new family. That's part of this new life. What else do we get? A safe place where you can learn about your Father and grow in Him. That's what God wants the church to be. A safe place where we can grow in our love for God and in our knowledge of all that He's done for us. Once again, I think back to my brother. When he came over here to the United States, after 4 years of probably living in a crib with a few other kids, he didn't know anything about how to live over here in the United States. I remember my mother calling me one day, and she was just laughing hysterically. She said, "I can't possibly know what he's going to do. I can't tell him what to do and what not to do, because I can't even imagine what he doesn't know how to do." Like the time that his entire school had to leave the building because the fire alarm went off. And when the principal started walking around trying to figure out why the fire alarm went off, it was pretty easy to find out why. My brother was sitting underneath it laughing. He didn't know enough to not pull the fire alarm. He didn't know to go in the boys' bathroom instead of the girls' bathroom. There were all of these things. I remember one day I had come home and I was sitting out in the living room and I was watching TV. All of a sudden, out of the corner of my eye, I saw a bright light. And I looked over there and my brother came running out of the playroom laughing. And he said, "Come see the fire. Come see the fire." And I ran in there. Well, he was listening to records on the record player and he cut the cord while the record player was going and it started a fire. He didn't know any of that stuff. But within our family, he had a safe place to learn all of that stuff. In the same way, God has provided a safe place for us to learn about our Heavenly Father as well. In Acts 2, it says, "They devoted themselves to the apostles' teachings and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer." They devoted themselves to learning together as a family of believers. What else do we have in this new life? Number 3, boy, this is good. Forgiveness of all your sins and therefore peace in your heart. I see this quite a bit in counseling over the last 20 plus years of being a pastor, but the crazy thing is that when you've had abuse in your life, and my brother, I'm sure, had a number of different abuses in those first 4 years of his life. The crazy thing is that you come out feeling dirty. And because you feel dirty, because you think because of what happened to you, you don't deserve anything good, you have to self-sabotage. You have to self-destruct whenever things start going well. And I remember those first few years of my brother's life, he was constantly sabotaging himself. All of his favorite things he would throw away or flush down the toilet. And then he would cry and cry and cry Why? What he needed to know was, whatever happened to him, he's forgiven. I wonder how many of us do the same things without even thinking about it. How many of you, when things start going well, you think, well, it shouldn't go well, or it can't go well. And then you sabotage the good thing that God brings into your life. God wants you to know you are absolutely, completely forgiven. And it tells us over and over again in Acts 2, Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. If you've been baptized, if you've received Jesus, then part of this new life for you is you are completely forgiven. In Acts 5, it says, the God of our ancestors raised Jesus from the dead, whom you killed by hanging him on a cross. God exalted him to his own right hand as Prince and Savior, that he might bring to Israel repentance and forgive their sins. And in Acts 10, it says, all the prophets testify about him, that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. It's oftentimes very hard for us to forgive ourselves when we've done something bad. But you have to tell yourself this: if God has forgiven me through Jesus, and he lets it go, in fact, he remembers my sins no more, then I can let it go too. And I can have the peace that transcends understanding that God wants me to live in as well. This is part of this new life. It's a wonderful life that Jesus won for us. Oh, it came at a high cost. His suffering and death on that Good Friday. But it's because he wanted us to enjoy all of this. And finally, number four, all you need for this body and life, Jesus won that for you. We see it in 1 Peter 1. It says, his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us. Once again, I think about my brother. My brother didn't have anything that he could call his own. And so what did he do when he came to the United States and he came into our family? We would give him gifts. And he thought that he had to hoard those gifts. He would never let them go. And if he needed both hands, he would put it on the ground and he'd put his foot over it. Nobody gets it. He was hoarding things to himself because he didn't know that it was all his. And in the same way, you and I don't have to hoard things. We've got a gracious and loving and generous Heavenly Father that wants to just give us so much. His divine power has given us everything we need for this life and for living a godly life, a life following him. We have everything that we need. In Acts chapter 5, it says, as a result, people brought the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and mats so that at least Peter's shadow might fall on some of them as he passed by. Crowds gathered also from the towns around Jerusalem, bringing their sick and those tormented by impure spirits, and all of them got healed. His divine power provided everything that they needed, not only spiritually and emotionally and mentally, but physically as well. Because now God, their Heavenly Father, had been brought close, the one who said, I will never leave you and I'll never forsake you. And so as they were calling out to him, God was coming to their aid and helping them. Now, some people would look at this and say, well, that's the way it was in the early church, but it's changed since then. I don't think so. In James 5, it says, is anyone among you sick? Let them call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up. If they have sinned, they will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you might be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. God has not changed. In fact, it says in Hebrews 13, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. His divine power has given us everything we need as well. We just need to call upon our loving Heavenly Father, who will never leave us nor forsake us. Say, God, you've promised to provide for me. God, you've promised never to forsake me. Don't let me go through this on my own. And like a loving Heavenly Father, he will always come to help us. There's a lot of different ways that he can do that. But I think probably most of us here in this room, one of the reasons that we're here is because we have experienced that from our loving Heavenly Father. What a new life, huh? A new family with a wonderful Heavenly Father who will never leave us nor forsake us. A place, a safe place where we can learn about our Heavenly Father and all that he has for us. Forgiveness of all of our sins, peace in our hearts, and most importantly, everything that we need for this body and life, for this life and for the life to come. What is God wanting? Just like he did in the early church, he wants people to bound from that old life over to the new life that Jesus has won for us. And if you've got some hesitation saying, you know, I'm just not sure that I'm ready to do that, what are you leaving behind? The old life is like my brother's old life. It just doesn't measure up even close to the new life. What are you leaving behind? Emptiness, isolation, regret, hopelessness? You see, Satan and God both make promises. The difference is that God actually keeps his. Satan makes a whole lot of promises saying things like this: they're going to bring you happiness and joy, the things that you're really looking for. No, they're not. They're going to leave you more empty with more regrets in your life. Jesus won for you a chance to get out of all that and embrace him and his new life for you. So the first thing I think he would tell us is this: embrace the new life that God has for you, all that's up there. And then secondly, once you embrace it, go and tell others. I got to tell you, this last weekend was so amazing. Last year, we had 900 and some people for Easter. This year, we had over 1,100 people. And the reason that we had so many people, I think, is because you're doing this. You're going out, you're inviting people to come and see what God has for them in this new life. And people are coming. Keep it up. We're not selling anything. It's already been bought and paid for by Jesus Christ through his death and resurrection. We're just saying, come and enjoy it. Come and see. Go and tell. And so really, the church hasn't changed in 2,000 years where the angel said, go stand in the temple courts and tell the people all about this new life. And just like it says in Acts 5, more and more men and women believed in the Lord and were added to their number. As you embrace this new life that Jesus has won for you, as you go forth to share and as you go forth to invite people to come into it, then may God continue to grow his church as well. In Jesus' name, amen.
You've been listening to a sermon from St. John's Lutheran Church in Buffalo, Minnesota. If you would like more information about St. John's and any of our ministries to our community and beyond,
You can go to our website, www.stjohnsbuffalo.org. Thank you, and God bless you.